Folks, as if you recall, and I guess Aiden and Thomas let me say that I don't know if you've ever heard somebody overuse the term folks as much as I do, but we're all folks here today. And so as we speak to one another, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you that are here. Now, I was out last Sunday, and Brother Pat brought a wonderful message to you, which I was thankful for. But I'd like to continue on in somewhat of a series that I've been attempting to bring to the church about bringing God's Word with you no matter where you are, no matter where you go, and how we do that on a daily basis, because we are instructed to do so. Now, 2 weeks ago, the main focus of that message was that when we attempt to do so, when God's Word is with us and we live by it on a daily basis, it should give us peace and happiness in our hearts. And there are several scriptures that substantiate that. But sometimes they're a little bit conditional. I want to share with you just two passages from that message to kind of jog our memories. But they also apply to today's message, where bringing God's Word with you requires obedience. You see, they're all interrelated between faith and obedience. And peace, and hearing what the Word of the Lord gives to us and how He directs us. Last Sunday, or two Sundays ago, as we were talking about peace in our hearts, the prophet Isaiah, the Lord spoke through him to give us these words of encouragement. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And folks, if you think about what the prophet is saying here, whose mind is stayed on you, when we are continually thinking about God, when we are living, breathing, and letting His Word be our bread of life, when our thoughts are on the Lord, it says that He will hold him in perfect peace because He trusts in you. And I take that literally. Sometimes that peace that passes all understanding is ours to be enjoyed when we just step back and take a breath and know that the Lord is in control and we trust Him. You see, trust is built off of having faith in God. And if we have faith in God's Word, then we know that nothing can separate us from His great love and that we are always under His care. His eye is upon us. If it's on the sparrow, it is on me and you. And we can find peace in that. But there are times, sometimes we all experience this, when it can get a little unnerving, whatever the circumstances may be. David certainly went through a lot of ups and downs in his life. He had a lot of hard, difficult times, and I would venture to say harder than most of us have ever encountered in our lives. And he said in Psalm 56, verses 3 through 4, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Folks, this ought to be a marker verse in your Bible that you turn to very frequently, because it reminds us we can put our trust in God. When I am afraid, don't we want to look to that rock that is higher than I am? We need to look to the Lord for everything in our lives. Everything in our lives. And that will give us peace. But folks, today's message is about obedience. And sometimes we have to be quite honest with ourselves. There are times and situations we come to that are unpleasant. They're difficult. Especially in dealing with other people. You know, life would sometimes be pretty good if we didn't have to deal with the problems from other people, wouldn't it? But that's not life. No, we are God's children, and we need to be praying for one another. And we need to deal with other people, even those who are not God's children. And sometimes that brings very difficult times into our lives. And when we encounter those times, we need to remember some things. We need to remember God's Word. And most of our messages from the rest of today will be brought from the New Testament. But I just want to give you maybe something to bring to your memory about who we are. about what God has done for us, about how precious the gift of faith is in our life, and about how we can look to His Word and find people who dealt with other people in circumstances that were very difficult. And there are examples that can be followed here. And of course, we can look to the Apostle Paul and think about his journeys across all of Europe and in today's modern times throughout the Middle East and across Europe. And in Romans chapter 1, there's some very important language here. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. And there's a term here I want you to take notice of. It's called bondservant. Because, folks, we need to recognize our relationship with the Lord. And Paul is saying that he is a bondservant to Christ Jesus. And we'll get into that more in just a moment. But Paul, who was one of the greatest apostles and spread God's word everywhere, he refers to himself as a bondservant. And we need to have the recognition as to why that is. It's because he understands what the Lord has done for him. And he's happy about this, being a bondservant. He is being a bondservant because he was separated to the gospel, to preach the gospel. But folks, I'm telling you that all of us, that applies to me and you too. Where we are a little different from the apostles, we are all disciples. How are we spreading God's word on a daily basis? Every day the Lord gives us, we have a walk. Are you bringing God's word with you? If you drop down to verses 5 and 6, Paul elaborates a little bit here. He says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience. And that's a term we're going to focus on, and obedience to faith among all nations for his name, among whom you are also called of Jesus Christ. So why is he a bondservant? He tells us here, because of the grace that he has received, and because of the gift of faith that is in his heart. You know, the faith is given to us by God. It's a gift too. Are you thankful for the gift of faith that you have? Do you feel like it? Does it feel like a gift to you? Too often we take our faith for granted. You had nothing to do with your faith. God placed it in your heart, and it identifies you as a child of God. And when we start recognizing, I have faith, and this was given to me, why? You didn't earn by your own good works the privilege to have that faith given to you. No, it was given by God's grace. And that's why Paul is describing himself as a bondservant, because he recognizes what the grace has done in his life. And he has said, among all nations, he is called for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we apply that to us today, obedience to faith among all nations means obedience to us, no matter where we are, no matter our circumstances, inside this church, inside your home, in your workplace, at school, no matter what social event you might be at. We are called to be obedient to the faith, because like Paul, we are bondservants too, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, because of His revealing to us, and because of the faith that we have. You see, we need to look at that. We are obligated to the Lord. He loved us when we were sinners, folks, when we didn't deserve it. And with that recognition comes humbleness. You know, a couple of messages back we talked about, the Lord said through the prophet Micah, what do I require of you, O man? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It seems so simple. But our daily walk sometimes is so, so difficult, especially when we encounter things from other people. But we folks, we have the gift of faith. We can do these things through the faith when we're strong. If you drop on down further in the first book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we have this exhortation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So folks, on a daily basis, we need to carry our faith with us in the daily walk. You know, every day is different. You won't live and do exactly today what you did yesterday. And if the Lord blesses us to have tomorrow, that day is going to be different too. But we need to carry our faith with us. And our faith and our hope is not in ourselves, it's in the Lord. Now, does that apply to you? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I believe for everybody who's in this room today, I have to say, of course, you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Is that true for everybody that you encounter in your life? I don't think so. Now, we're going to continue on. And the following scripture kind of reinforces what the Apostle Paul was saying, but this time it's from the Apostle Peter. And you know, folks, when you find repetitious clauses in the Bible, we need to pay attention to it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter announces and greets the faithful. And he says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. You see, brother Peter and brother Paul both recognize themselves as a bondservant, indebted to Jesus Christ because of that marvelous grace and redemption that comes to us only through Jesus. Folks, we are bondservants to Him, and He has created you for good works. We all have good works to do in our lives. We are bondservants to the Lord. Our faith connects us. And he goes on in this introduction, to those through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received faith as precious as ours. You see, folks, your faith is just as precious as anybody's faith, including Paul's and Peter's. It is precious and more valuable than anything else in life. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. When we have that true knowledge and recognition of our faith and how we are in God's hands, folks, we have peace. But it makes that connection together of being a servant to Him, because He loves you. He knows all about you. And folks, He has prepared good works for you to do. His divine power, and this is an important statement, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And you know, let's take a step back and look at modern day times. I hate to say this, it hurts my heart. But there are so many social influencers, so many people in the media, sadly so many churches. They bow under the pressure of being politically correct. They care and are more concerned about what other people think, about what society thinks, about what the world thinks, than standing firm for God's Word. They compromise God's Word to placate people. That's not what the Bible teaches. And see, we have been given everything we need to live a godly life on a daily basis, but you have to know what God's Word says. And you have to know that when you confront behavior that is not godly, we should not normalize it. We are called to be God's people and to live by His Word. Now, that doesn't mean that we can turn everybody from every sin in this earth. That's not what I'm saying. But folks, you cannot be misled and be gullible enough when you hear some people saying, well, that's okay, when God's Word says it's not okay. You see, we have His Word, and we have faith in Jesus Christ. We are His bondservant. We have been enabled, we have been strengthened to live a godly life. We have everything we need. Living a godly life means this, because this is where it gets to be a little bit difficult, is in being obedient. Are you obedient to God's Word? You see, sometimes we have to do things God's way, not our way. We have to put our faith and our trust in God's Word, not in our own understanding. He's very clear with that. And it doesn't matter what the situations may be. It doesn't matter what you might be involved in this afternoon. Are we obedient to God's Word? That's what He requires of us. That's what He tells us to do. And when we are obedient, when our faith is strong, we have peace in our hearts. But folks, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's very difficult. But we have the power to do it. And we are explicitly told that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And here Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and the Corinthian church was surrounded by a lot of pagan societies with a lot of different diversities of thoughts and lifestyles. And here he tells us, do you not know? Matter of fact, you might say, folks, open your eyes. It's time you realize, if we put that in modern day term, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. In other words, you are a bondservant, for you were bought at a price. Remember that price, folks, because Jesus poured out his precious blood on that cross to pay for that pardon of your sin. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God gave you everything, folks. And he has strengthened us and enabled us with the ability to live a godly life. Because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is in us, we have the power to live a godly life. We glorify God when we walk humbly, remembering God loves us. So when that recognition is upon us, that he purchased us and paid for our sin debt with his blood, it should humble us, folks. And when we walk humbly, when we are obedient to his God's word, recognizing he loved us so much and he forgave us of our sins, that knowledge and awareness should make us to love his mercy all the more. And when we recognize how merciful he has been to us, that should enable us to be merciful towards other people. Love mercy. Remember from the prophet Micah, to love mercy. God is merciful to us each and every day. His word tells us by his mercies we are not consumed. Because, folks, God loves us. And he sent his son for us. And because you have that gift of faith to understand that, to receive it, you are a child of God. And folks, we have responsibilities as a child of God. One of those responsibilities is to be obedient to his word. And in his word alone, it comes first in our lives. We glorify God by keeping his commandments daily, anywhere we may be and everywhere, just like Paul said, in every nation. You know, our Christian responsibilities don't end when we leave this church. We carry them with them. And it's important. Jesus told us this. And I believe this can be summarized a little bit in the Gospel of Matthew when he was talking to the disciples and to all those children. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Folks, if you're not being obedient to God's word, you're shirking your responsibilities. And your light's not going to be shining. But when we trust God and we have peace in our hearts and we're obedient to his word, our light shines forth. And other people see it. And that is important work in our daily walk for other people to see our faith and glorify God for it. Now we come back to that topic of what happens when it gets difficult. What happens when people throw up roadblocks in our daily walk? When we have to choose to be obedient or not to be obedient? When our human nature gets pulled up to the surface? You know, we're all human. We're all fallible. We all sin. We all have our human nature, you might say, so to speak. Sometimes not to do things our way is a very difficult thing. And we're going to get into this, Lord willing, again next Sunday. But I want to set the stage now for the time that we have left for this topic about being obedient to God in this one particular way. Even when a situation is difficult, even when you've been wrong, and we find it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. Now, I just want, the wheels maybe they're turning, but I just want to ask you right now. How many times in your life has somebody done something wrong to you and you start plotting revenge? How many times have you been on the short end of the stick unjustifiably? People just took advantage of you. You see, we can start reciting and remembering all these circumstances where, yeah, I was the victim. I was defrauded. I was taken advantage of. I was stolen from. I was picked on. Whatever it may be. We have all had those circumstances in our life. And human nature will immediately point you towards that direction of plotting revenge. How can I get even? How can I even do more? See, that's the human nature in us. But God's ways are not our ways. And we are told explicitly, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourself and for all. Sometimes that's a bitter pill to swallow, isn't it? But, folks, we find it again in Romans. Here, we've been in Romans already, and now over in chapter 12, Paul is addressing some situations that have occurred. Because if you think particularly about the circumstances that the people who were in Rome were living under, they were living under Roman occupation. They were living under a lot of Greek influence, a lot of pagan worshiping, all types of different societal things that were so, so different from what the Bible was teaching, from what they understood. And here, Paul tells them, Romans chapter 12, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with God, with good. Folks, there's so much in this statement. How do you do these things? What's included and what's excluded in what Paul has just instructed? We don't have time to dissect this now. I want to do it again in the next Sunday's message, Lord willing. We're going to continue on by applying it. Two places we found, you do not repay evil for evil. It is instructions that we cannot ignore. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. See, folks, sometimes it's not possible to live peaceably. We know that there are wars that come. But we have a Christian walk and a daily walk. And a lot does depend on us. It depends on how obedient we're going to be to keeping God's word. Peter tells us in the following, 1 Peter chapter 3, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Three times now, we are told to turn away from evil, not to repay evil with evil. And here Paul explicitly says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. You know, folks, oftentimes, and some of what's being applied here, when they're saying, do not repay evil for evil, is when people are slandered. When people throw innuendos at you and start disparaging you and tearing you down and saying all sorts of things that probably are not true. Summarize it in a simple little word. When people insult you, you don't insult people back, is what he's saying. And worse, but a lot of what he's saying is about the power of the tongue. And we spoke about that several Sundays ago. Every idle word will be recorded. You see, the power of the tongue is tremendous. How do you speak? When you walk your daily walk, are you claiming to be a Christian yet you're tearing down this other person? Even if that person said something bad to you? Let me ask you some things. Because it's important. We must be aware and remember it happens a lot more often than what we are aware that other people see us as we walk daily and they judge us based on the way we are walking and sometimes they mimic and copy and follow the way we're walking. Will your walk, will your example be that of the walk that the Lord requires of us? You see, you might be the only gospel that that person ever encounters. Will that person see Jesus Christ in you? Will they see the light of God shining from you? Not being a hater and disparaging people, but talking good about people? Peter tells us, and let's think about this, folks. This is very profound, what he's telling us. Peter tells us, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to do this, that you may inherit a blessing. Folks, you were called. In other words, we are told to walk differently from this world. You were called to be a blessing. And you have the ability to do it because of the Holy Spirit that is within you. Folks, we're not being a blessing when we're tearing down other people. We're not being a blessing when we walk perversely as soon as we get out of church. We're not being a blessing when we do anything contrary to God's Word. We have been given everything that we need to live a godly life. And that means sometimes making a choice that can be very difficult because you will be insulted and ridiculed when you make that choice. There's another expression that I've heard from people. It says, give the world the best you can and you're going to get kicked in the teeth. Well, give the world the best you can anyway. You see, we shouldn't be doing things for notoriety and for fame or recognition. No, we live according to God's Word because He's instructed us to. When we have the faith to be obedient to God's Word regardless of where we are and regardless of the circumstances we might be found in, when we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, folks, your light will be shining. You were called to do this because you are a child of God. You have responsibilities. And Jesus, I think, summarized this, or I should say Peter and Paul, really, they were led and directed by what Christ said in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes. And this applies to those people that don't always say what's on their mind and tear other people down, returning evil for evil. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets who were before you. You see, Jesus is telling us, it's going to happen. We are going to be persecuted. We're going to be made the butts of jokes. We're going to be reviled. We're going to be insulted. And it happened to the prophets that came before him. It's happened to everybody who's lived since then who lives their faith. We have been and we will be reviled in our lives because of our faith and because of our confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. But folks, what's more important to you? What other people think or your relationship with Jesus Christ? When you realize how much God loved you and what He did for you, it should be so much more important than what other people think. We can live a godly life in this world when we are obedient and keep His commandments, When we do the best we can to remember what His Word says to guide us through difficult times. And see, for those people that insult us, that revile us, yes, yeah, human nature to want to get even. But we already read, God said, vengeance is mine. I can tell you this, no matter what you could think of, the Lord could do worse to somebody if it's the Lord's will. But folks, we are told to not to repay evil for evil. Because we have to realize how evil we were, and yet God forgave. God loved. And God has redeemed you. You have the gift of faith to understand and believe that. And if we are going to be obedient, see that no one renders evil for evil, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. So let me ask you some questions now. If somebody's insulting you, and it can be over the simplest little thing, but sometimes it hurts. We're blessed to have two Georgia Tech students with us here today. But you know, there may be some Georgia students over there that ain't going to like it because you're Georgia Tech students, and they're going to, you know, back and forth, back and forth. Sometimes that's a little bit innocent banter. But there's times when that goes too far, and ugly words get spoken. And you know, they say sticks and stones may break my bones, words may never hurt me. But you know, an unkind word sometimes lingers a long, long time. It can hurt you. What you think and what you say is important. So when you're insulted, let me ask you, have we prayed for the person that's insulting us? Have you prayed for that person? It can make a difference, folks. God hears the prayers of His people. And I want you to remember something, because we've talked about this now, mercy. About God's mercy. And why we are not supposed to repay evil for evil. Now, I believe everybody here today is an honest person. And you may not have ever insulted somebody over their religion. But if you look back far enough in your life, there's been times when you've been slinging insults for whatever the reason was to. We've all insulted people to our shame. But we have. That's human nature. You see, there's times when we were the one doing the wronging. And now it takes a little bit deeper and different meaning when we start thinking about repaying evil for evil. When you think about how evil you were before God came into your life, and how evil we are, even this standing here today, without the grace of God and the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ in His blood, we don't want to be repaid for our evil, do we? No, we want mercy. We want God's grace. You know what the funny thing about grace? We want grace in our life, but we don't always want that grace to be applied as equally to somebody else. And that's that ugly human nature rearing its head again. You see, that's what it means to be merciful towards other people. Sometimes people are lashing out at us, and there may be reasons that you don't understand. And that's why I asked, have you prayed for those people? Have you prayed for that person to have a change of heart? How much life would be better if those people that we count now as evil, as enemies, our adversaries, if through God's intervention they changed? Remember, Paul persecuted the church early on too, didn't he? You see, God can change those whom He will, and we need to pray for them. So I want you to remember, no matter how old we are or how strong your faith may be, folks, we are all a work in progress. And you're not finished yet. The Lord has more for you to do. There's more refining, more shaping, more polishing that needs to be done to you and your character. But thank God that the Lord loves His workmanship. And that includes you. In all your blemishes, and with all your imperfections, even when we were evil, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Ephesians tells us, for we are His workmanship. I told you to be thankful that God loves His workmanship. That includes you. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, there's those good works again. We all have works to do, folks. We need to be obedient to His Word and do those good works. And one of those good works is not repaying evil for evil when other people do you wrong. We are told to be obedient no matter where we are, no matter what we encounter, to put God's Word first in our lives. And folks, we can do that. And as we consider other people, we need to remember that, folks, without the grace of God, there go I. Remember the Lord's tender mercies, how merciful He's been to you this day. You had the health and the faith to come here today, and you have, I pray, heard God's Word and not my opinion. And remember His mercies, because we opened our scripture, our service with it this morning. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. And folks, you are the work of the Lord's hands. His fingerprints are all over His children, to those who have faith. May the Lord add His blessings is my prayer. And I pray that as each day the Lord gives you next week, whatever your daily walk may be, that you will be obedient to God's Word and put it first in your life. May the Lord add His blessings.